If I can ask you just to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll be spending our time in verses 21 to 26. Maybe a passage that you're not too familiar with, but nevertheless a very encouraging passage to us today. Proverbs 3, verse 21. If you're there, say amen. This is the word of God. It says this: "My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be a life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Let us pray. Father, such encouraging words from your scriptures. You are indeed our confidence, and you are our foundation in times of difficulty. We pray for supernatural security in our lives that can only come from Christ Jesus. And we pray that in our time in your word today, that we would focus upon you. That the distractions of this world would not cloud sitting under the holy, infallible, inerrant word of God. The word of God that has authority over lives, because when the word speaks, you speak. May we submit to you today humbly and obey you and follow you and love you as Christ has loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you know that the Woolsey fire is something that our community has been dealing with this past month or so, right? And it's claimed 87 lives, laying waste to nearly 400 acres in the area. There are 500 people that are still left unaccountable for and unaccounted for. And in the county sheriff's office, as we on Thanksgiving were enjoying our meals and enjoying our family, county sheriffs and responders did not take a Thanksgiving day off. Still searching for people, still helping, because the devastation of the fire was just so great. And I don't know if you've looked at pictures online about the fire or videos of just people dealing with the aftermath, but it's really sad to see some of the pictures. You look at some of the pictures of the communities that have been leveled by this fire, and all you see are rows and rows of houses in these communities that are burned down to the ground, and there's nothing left. The fire has devastated these people, and it's so sad. And it just reflecting upon this fire has made me think of just disaster. It's made me think of what would happen if disaster came to my life. If trouble came to my home, would I be ready? Would I be prepared? Would my family be safe and my home be secure? It's made me think about how prepped my home is. And so, you know, this year I've taken many different precautions about disaster. We tried working on changing all the different smoke detectors in our house. I've even tried making emergency preparedness bags. I don't even know what to put in the bag. I just put random things in there. Flashlights that don't work. Bottled waters that may be questionable to drink, right? And so I'm just trying to, as much as possible, be prepped. And even this year, I was looking to home security systems. Camera systems, and the technology is amazing when it comes to security. They've got high definition cameras, wireless cameras that connect to the internet. And guess what? They're all expensive. They all cost an arm and a leg to secure your home. And, you know, it's understandable, right? When we look at these disasters, when we look at these troubles, people just want to be secure. It's not wrong to want safety. It's not wrong to want security. Because that's part of who we are. We want to be safe. We want to be at peace and have this peace of mind. And so there's nothing wrong with these efforts towards wanting to be safe. But just know that our human efforts to want to be safe and secure have limitations. They are limited. Man finds its own solutions on how to protect himself, go from firearms to alarm systems to emergency preparedness to even government. A lot of people today are relying upon government to save them, to help them, to call 911, and people will be maybe 20 minutes away to help you. We can't rely upon these things completely. Society has talked a lot about security these days, hasn't it? We've talked about homeland security. We talk about border security. We talk about security from fire, security from, sadly, mass shootings. Security in any dangerous situations. And I know that these are somewhat extreme examples when it comes to talking about security and talking about troubles like this, but what about everyday life? What about the things that you are going through right now at this moment as a believer that are causing you to feel insecure, that are causing you to feel shaky, a little off kilter as you are walking through life? Because each and every single one of us have our personal difficulties, and I don't know what yours is. You can have in mind just the work problems, the family problems, the many different concerns of your life. And so, is it wrong for you as a Christian to want security? Is it? I don't think so. I think how we go about pursuing security is of utmost importance. It's important to know that God does not promise you immunity from your problems. Some people think that when you come to Christ that it's all health, wealth, and prosperity, and there are no problems at all at being a Christian. I believe that is the opposite of what the Bible teaches. If anything, what Jesus Christ says, he says, take up your cross and follow after me if you want to be a disciple of mine. And so the Christian life is, in one sense, a life full of problems and difficulties and hardships. But he promises, God promises to be a refuge and a shield and a hope in the midst of those troubles. And so what we are looking at here in Proverbs chapter 3 is a biblical solution to the security of life. What we're going to be looking at is this supernatural security system called wisdom, God's wisdom. A security system that can fit any situation of life that you find yourself in. And so whether it's the greatest of difficulties to the smallest of problems, wisdom will guard you better than any security system that you can purchase. And I love this passage because it's a passage that many are not familiar with, and it's found in the book of Proverbs, and I love the book of Proverbs. Anyone here love the book of Proverbs? The book of Proverbs is such a wonderful book where you have Solomon, a father, writing to his sons, a parent teaching his child the fear of the Lord. He's saying the fear of the Lord is the first step to wisdom. It is a foundation of wisdom. That if you want to be wise in this life, you cannot be truly wise unless you worship and have a reverential fear for God. You cannot apply these passages unless you worship Christ Jesus. It's not merely about being moralistic, and I love about this proverb is that they're bite-sized, right? Some of you have leftover candy from Halloween or Reformation Day on October 31st, and you have the bite-sized Snickers, the bite-sized Twix that you shouldn't be eating, right? And I love about Proverbs is that this is bite-sized theology, that in small tidbits and small portions, you can memorize these values and morals in life that are fitting of a Christian who is worshiping God the way he or she should be. And the main point of this passage here in verses 21 to 26 is about God's personal security for those who follow his wisdom. God's personal security for those who follow his wisdom. If you kind of take a look at verses 13 to 20, just kind of skim over the way that Solomon is describing wisdom. He's describing wisdom as profit, better than silver, than gold, more precious than jewels. Wisdom gives long life in her right hand. Her ways are pleasant. And so he has this lofty way of describing what God's wisdom looks like. And then by verse 21, he gives these benefits to those who take heed to wisdom's call. If you apply wisdom, if you embrace wisdom, there are certain benefits that God promises you in your life if you apply his wisdom to you today. By verse 21, if you look at your handout in the notes, we're going to look at two portions to this passage, the call to guard wisdom and the benefits of guarding wisdom. And so look at verse 21 where Solomon is calling us to guard wisdom. He says, "My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Solomon starts off with an affectionate appeal to his son, and he says, "My son." Almost as if he's sitting his son on his lap and saying, "I am here to tell you something very important." My dad was a very affectionate person. My parents were very affectionate, and so he would go to me sometimes, and he would say, "Micah, my son, my only son." Because I was the only boy, right? And, you know, kind of a play on the words of God to Christ, right? My son, my only son. And so my parents were very affectionate. And so Solomon here is a very affectionate father pleading to his son to apply the qualities of wisdom in his life. The qualities that he just explained starting in verse 13, he says, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. My son, I want you to know how blessed you will be if only you would embrace God's wisdom in your life. I want you to know how great your life can be if you would only submit to God's wisdom in your life." He says, "My son, let them," meaning wisdom, "not vanish from your sight." He says, "My son, make sure you don't let wisdom out of your sight for 1 second." There's this term coming around to describe moms that are very overprotective. They're called helicopter moms. Have you ever heard that term before? Helicopter moms are moms that kind of revolve around their kids and hover around their kids and make sure that they're either literally or figuratively okay, right? And so you see them just looking from far away. Well, I still see them, making sure that the kids are not falling down, scraping their knees, or if they're older, making sure they're not making bad choices with their job or something, or not marrying the wrong person, right? Helicopter moms, always around. Never having their children out of their sight. And so Solomon is saying, "My son, make sure that you are always in the vicinity of wisdom. Make sure that wisdom never leaves your sight for 1 second. Because it would only benefit you to have wisdom as part of your vision. Never let it out of your sight. Pay constant, diligent attention to the teaching of wisdom, because Solomon knows that this is the best security for his sons. He knows no security in this world, not money, not relationships, not people, will secure his sons like God's wisdom. And he says in the security, they are to what? Keep sound wisdom and discretion. That word "keep" is very poetic language, another word for guarding or protecting. And so he's saying, "I want you to guard and preserve and protect wisdom." You know, we go at great lengths to preserve our things, don't we? You go at great lengths to preserve your car, getting car insurance, putting the wax on the car. You go at great lengths to preserve your $700 iPhone, to get a phone case that's also $100, and screen protectors and all these things. We go at great lengths to protect and guard our things. Solomon is saying, make sure you go at great lengths to protect and guard what? Wisdom. God's wisdom should be precious to you. God's wisdom should be cherished by you. It should be protected and guarded and preserved in your life. And so as a Christian, we wonder how, if wisdom gives all these benefits, I want to know how to guard wisdom. I want to know how to preserve it in my life. And the scriptures are full of instruction on how to do that. James chapter 1 verse 5 says this: "If you pray to God and ask him for wisdom, he will give you generously and liberally. You don't have wisdom because you don't ask for it." And so one way to preserve wisdom in your life is just to pray to God and ask him for his wisdom. "God, give me your wisdom in this situation. I want to please you in my life and in this decision." Another way to preserve wisdom in our life is 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, which is meditate on the scriptures. Beloved, we are studying what? The Bible. We are studying the Bible, and it is in God's Word where we hear specifically what His wisdom is. And I love 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 because it says, all Scripture is God-breathed, inspired. It is profitable, and it allows the man of God to be adequate, to be equipped for every good work. Sometimes we feel so inadequate to tackle life's problems, and maybe the reasons why we are inadequate to tackle life's problems is because we are biblically inept. We are not biblically founded. And so we need to guard wisdom through God's Word. And you also need to surround yourself with wise people. Proverbs 11, verse 14, and Proverbs 15, verse 22 talk about surrounding yourself with wise counsel. Be around believers, your local church, people who are willing to love you enough to point you to the Scriptures. Not people who are not willing to love you enough to tell you what the Scriptures say. Be around and surround yourself with people who are wise in the Word. You know, Satan and the world in your flesh will be working for you to live a foolish life. The enemies of your enemies are working, spiritual enemies are working right now for you to live a foolish life. It is up to us to work hard and actively pursuing and preserving God's wisdom. Now, if we heed to this call to guard wisdom, Solomon promises certain benefits. And there are threefold benefits here in verses 22 to 26. There's security in life, there's security in sleep, and there's security in God. Look at verse 22, security in life. So they, wisdom, will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Here, this is the essence of the passage. Wisdom will preserve your life. Solomon's sons will find a freedom from anxiety that would only plague the wicked who don't love God, the wicked who don't pursue God, have this type of anxiety that plagues them that cannot go away. And Solomon says that does not have to be you. That you can have a hope for the future, you can have a hope in abundance of life if only you would give yourself to wisdom. And he uses this picture of wisdom as this type of adornment or jewelry. He says, an adornment to your neck, that Hebrew word, adornment, maybe you have a different translation, that word is the word for grace. A grace to your neck. Refers to the abundant life of health and prosperity. Yeah, back then, certain leaders would wear necklaces. It would be a symbol of exemplary living in their life. And I love my wife for many different reasons, but I love my wife because she knows how to save me money. And so my wife is very practical, and she has very specific tastes too, and I love that her specific taste is also very frugal. And so she tells me that when I buy her jewelry, I'm not supposed to go to any of those fancy jewelry shops, and that's a godsend, right? My wife says, don't go to the big, expensive stores. I'm not even interested in that. Just go to Target. Go to Target. I love the taste of their jewelry. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank you. My wallet thanks you. And so that's wisdom, right? And so that's my wife. That's her particular case. If you're one who's extravagant, that's okay too, right? Some people are more extravagant, and some people are willing to pay that much money for jewelry because jewelry represents that exemplary lifestyle that probably we're not even living, right? Some people will take out a second mortgage just to wear something around their neck. And so here, jewelry nowadays is exactly what jewelry was back then. It shows a beautiful, abundant, prosperous life. And this is a perfect illustration of what wisdom is. That you are to wear wisdom as a symbol of abundant spiritual life, a symbol of honor, a symbol of exemplary living, a symbol of spiritual prosperity, generally speaking. And so we need to look at wisdom as this type of spiritual jewelry that gives and exemplifies an abundance of life. It's beautiful, wisdom. And in verse 23, it brings us security in the way that we live our lives. Look at verse 23. It says, then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. This is another consequence of guarding wisdom, which is you will walk continuously in the original without interruption. And if some of us look at a verse like this and say, is Solomon promising a problem-free life? Well, actually, in his wording, he's saying it's the idea of striking seriously or being fatally injured. So it's in a more of an extreme description. It's not that you won't stumble, but stumble in the way of being seriously injured. And that's so consistent with Scripture, because we know, like we talked about before, being a Christian and a follower of Christ does not promise a problem-free life. Amen? Amen? Those who have problems, say amen. 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 I've got two, and they're little girls, all right? I love my little girls, all right? But we all, each and all have our difficulties. It doesn't guarantee freedom from pain, but God promises to sustain us in the midst of our what? In our pain, in our problems. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 9, he said, I am struck down, but not destroyed. You see, in 1 Peter, Peter was writing to Christians who were literally being burned on fire, burned alive, lit on fire for the sake of the gospel. And how do you comfort people who are literally being burned alive for the sake of Christ? Peter says, you have an inheritance reserved for you, preserved for you in heaven. Doesn't matter what fiery trial you're going through, God promises that your inheritance will not perish, will not fade away, and is preserved in heaven for you. That's a beautiful promise that God promises to his followers in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your problems. He's not saying, come to Christ, your marriage will be fixed. Come to Christ, your children will actually listen to you. Come to Christ, you will have a six-figure salary. Beloved, you laugh, but some people actually promise that. But the Bible says, no, you come to Christ, your problems might be greater. You come to Christ, your problems might increase. Because you need to count the cost to follow Christ. But I tell you, it is worth it. It is worth it. And that in the midst of you suffering for Christ, there is eternal weight of glory waiting on the other side of heaven for you. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says, the righteous man falls seven times, but rises again. And sometimes life feels like that, right? We're stumbling and falling and stumbling and falling. But God says, get back up. Don't pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Depend upon me. Call on me to pick you up. Because you can't live life on your own. You need to live according to my wisdom and my word and my promises. And only then you will be able to be secure in life. A second benefit from guarding wisdom is security in sleep. Who loves to sleep? I love sleep. It was hard for me to get here in the morning. I love sleep. Verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. This is the theology of insomnia. Some of us have trouble sleeping. Either have or you currently have trouble sleeping for many different reasons, right? Brother John said, I have a newborn, 2 months old. And many of you who are parents who have had kids at that age, you know that you do not sleep, right? The kid wakes up every 2 hours, every 1 hour, every 10 minutes. And so there is no sleep in our household at this moment. But there was one night where the baby slept for 4 hours. 4 hours straight. Praise the Lord for 4 hours. Amen. And oh, my wife, when we woke up and realized it had been 4 hours later, we thought, oh my goodness, we slept. We were so happy. We had tears in our eyes because we had sleep. We were so happy. It was almost as if we got saved again, right? We were just so happy because my wife loves her sleep and I love my sleep. And so sleep is precious to us. In that way, because when it comes to lacking sleep, it affects you as a person, right? There's a lot of different reasons why we are affected when we lose sleep. And many of us aren't losing sleep because of newborns. Some of us are losing sleep because of other reasons. could be anxiety, could be stress, could be concerns over life, even valid concerns. And so we have this anxiety over the future that troubles even the most mature of Christians. Even the most mature of Christians sometimes lose sleep over their life. The cure here that Solomon says is not just to take some sleeping pill. It's not just to go with some sort of worldly cure, but the cure is the company of wisdom. He says, when you lie down, if you guard wisdom, you will not be afraid. Fear is removed. Fear that plagues other people will not be present in the believers who know that God is caring for them. He says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. But instead, when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. That word sweet has been referenced to a sweet-tasting food or the sweet sound of music from a flute or a harp. And so that same sleep, when you have experienced a full night of rest, uninterrupted, it's like you are a whole new rejuvenated person. And he says you can come back to that type of attitude and heart and peace of mind. We're not just talking about sleep here. You understand that, right? We're talking about a peace of mind, the state of your heart. He says you can come back to that type of peaceful rest if only what? You put your hope in godly wisdom, which is in turn in God himself. Other passages like Psalm chapter 3, verse 5, David recounts past peaceful rest. Despite troubles, fears, and even physical threats on his life, David could sleep like a baby because he trusted in whom? God. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, he declares future peaceful sleep because of God's protection. And so you could even put it this way. Your sleep is linked to what you believe about God. Think about that. Your sleep is linked to what you believe about God. Satisfied sleep is a product of the fear of God. Your relationship with God might manifest itself in how you are sleeping at night. Because maybe you are worried and up at night because your relationship with God is not where it should be. Maybe you're worried and up at night because your anxiety and stress has not been given to God the way it should be. Maybe you're up and awake at night because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding has not flooded your heart in Christ Jesus. Maybe that's the case. It's possible. Maybe you're up at night because there is a sin that you still not have repented of, and it is keeping you up at night. That too must be given at the cross at Christ. Cross of Christ, who is able to forgive and assist you in your time of need. I love this poetic device found in verses 23 and 24. It says, when you walk in your way, and then verse 24 says, when you lie down, and so it talks about walking and lying down, covering the entire spectrum of life. Again, talking more than about just sleep, God's wisdom brings security in all situations and in all time. It doesn't matter what you are going through today, whether you're 5 years old, 50, or 90. It doesn't matter what you are going through today, God's wisdom can speak to your situation today and give you rest and peace. Lastly, the last benefit is guarding wisdom gives you security in God himself. Look at verse 25. He says, do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. This is the assurance that a believer has. It ends in a confident tone, but he ends in a prohibition. He's warning and commanding against something. He says, I command you to be fearless. He says, do not be afraid of the sudden fear. Fearlessness is commanded because security is in the Lord. And so sudden fear is a reference to unexpected or expected troubles. Doesn't matter whether it's expected, anticipated, or not anticipated, these things you do not have to fear because the motivation, God will protect. Verse 26, for the Lord will be your confidence. The final verse is a motivation. It's the command. God exists as your sole confidence in your life. And I love the way that the Hebrew is worded. The word your confidence literally in the Hebrew means at your loins, at your side. And so he's saying the Lord will be at your loins, literally. And this is interesting because it's saying how God is at our side at all times in the midst of distress and calamity. I was looking online one time. There's a firearm company that has this slogan about their weapons that says, confidence that you can carry. Confidence that you can carry. And I'm not trying to make a political statement about the Second Amendment or anything, but the point is that they were trying to show how carrying this weapon will give you confidence at your side at all times. When you look at this statement here that Solomon is saying, he says, the Lord will be your confidence. The Lord will be at your side at all times. And I love it because this is confidence that you can carry, right? This is confidence that will be at your side at all times. This is the climax of the text because God is beside the believer who is following his wisdom. God is there and present for those of you who are faithful to him in applying and loving, applying the scriptures and loving Christ the way he calls you to. He says, if you are faithful in the midst of your troubles, he promises to be faithful to you. And this is the hidden source of steady walking. God is guarding the feet. Look at verse 26. And I will keep your foot from being caught. There's no confidence in personal intelligence, no confidence in man's efforts, no full confidence in your own ways of securing yourself, because man's efforts will eventually run out. Man's efforts has its limitations. God is not saying that you need to be passive. If anything, there's a lot of active responsibility here on your end to be faithful and apply his wisdom. But the focus is that God's wisdom is sure. God's wisdom is steady. God's wisdom is a foundation that will not crumble and has no weak points. Man's efforts at best is still man's efforts, which means that there are problems and there are weaknesses. For confidence to be placed in the Lord means that there is no disappointment, even in the difficult times. And those of you who are saints who have lived just a season of life, you know that God has never disappointed you. God has never let you down. God has always been present. Through the ups and the downs, God has sustained you. And I know that, why? Because you're still here. You're still here. But God also promises to sustain even if he takes you away. See, people wonder, you know, how does God protect even in the midst of those who pass away? What if the trial, the worst thing that the trial can do is kill you, right? The worst thing that the trial can do is take away your life. But even in the loss of life, there is what? There is preservation. Because at the sign of death, death is not the end for the believer, right? Oh, death, where is thy sting? There is no victory in death. There is victory in Christ who has conquered death. Amen? And so we love the Lord because even in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my what? Shepherd. And at the end of that passage, I love it because it says, surely goodness and mercy will what? Follow after me. And many of you seasoned saints know that the word follow is a stronger word, which means pursue. Surely goodness and mercy will pursue and chase after me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will chase after me the same way that a dog chases a cat and doesn't finish chasing the cat until it catches the cat. Goodness and mercy will chase after you all the days of your life until it catches you. And that is what he promises to believers who have God as their shepherd. And you cannot have God as your shepherd until you know the great shepherd, which is Jesus Christ. This is gospel security, saints. Gospel security in two ways. Number one, this is gospel security in salvation. Security of salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you know the Savior who came upon this earth 2,000 years ago, who lived a perfectly righteous life, who was put to death at the hands of sinners on a cross and died the death of a terrible criminal that he did not deserve? And that he on the cross took upon the wrath of God, feeling the full weight of God's wrath. He was buried as he died, and he rose again on the third day. And he is now seated at the right hand of the Father in a victorious position, because he says, "It is finished. I have completed the work." And he has taken the wrath of God for those who believe and trust in him for salvation. Do you know him? Do you know this Savior that is able to give this permanent salvation, that is able to forgive you completely of all your sins, past, present, and what? Future. The gospel says it is a complete cleansing. It is a complete forgiveness, and it is a permanent salvation. Romans chapter 8 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so, gospel security is available to you today. If you are here and this is your first time at church, maybe you're here and you constantly go to church and you are still not a believer in Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for gospel security. If you die today without Christ, there's only punishment. If you die today with Christ, there's only heaven. There's only eternal life. And what makes heaven so great is that you get God. Do you have gospel security today in your salvation? But do you also have gospel security today in your everyday life? Beloved, Montebello, do you know that the gospel is not just relevant to the day that God saved you? It is relevant to you every single day of your life. Jesus said, Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always until the very end of the age." The Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians dwells within us because we are the temple of God, the dwelling place of God himself. God is in such close proximity to us in that he is dwelling within us. How wonderful is that? That the fear of the Lord would be produced in us to worship him the way that he ought to be worshiped. And as believers who are gospel people every single day, you remind yourself of the gospel because it gives you a supernatural type of confidence and a supernatural security that you will be able to tackle anything in life, not because you are strong, but because God is. What did Paul say? What did Paul say? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, "I rejoice in my weaknesses," right? "I rejoice in my weaknesses, for power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong." It is not Paul's strength. It is who? God's strength. And if you need security, today, the only security for your life today is founded in Christ Jesus. Will you accept and embrace that supernatural security? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because your word tells us about your wisdom. God's wisdom gives us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. And we just pray that we would be humble enough to submit to you and obey you. Lord, it's hard at times. It's hard many times to follow your word, but we know that with the help of your Spirit, we can do so in a way that is Christ-like. And so we pray, God, that you would help these saints and help all of us to embrace your wisdom and the benefits that it brings. Lord, you are the only one who can secure us, that man's efforts will eventually fail in his attempt to secure his life. We can only have the security from above, which is for all eternity, founded solely through Christ Jesus. And we pray for these things in his name. Amen.